So we'll start with a meditation. So close your eyes. Try to get really comfortable in your seat so you can lean forward and then back a little bit. Try to find your center. And then draw your shoulder blades together and lift your heart. And then begin to watch your breath. Watch the air as it flows out and then back in again. And then you can start to count your breaths from 1 to 10. And if you get distracted at all, start over again at 1. Try to be very still. And if you've lost the object, bring your mind back and be happy that you came back. inhale, let your mind sink down to the level of your heart. And try to feel your heartbeat, or you can try to hear it, whichever is easier for you. And if your mind has wandered from the area of the heart, bring it back. That is the practice. Now, start to imagine that there's a tiny golden room at the back of your heart. And you're sitting in this tiny room. And it's filled with beautiful golden sunlight. And your lama is there with you. You're both sitting in meditation posture, just across from each other, so that your knees are almost touching. Try to feel them, feel their presence. And your lama is very happy to be there with you. They love you so much. They want you to have everything that you want. They want you to be happy. Bring your mind back to your Lama and their presence and their love for you. You can feel it coming off of them like warmth. If your mind wanders, just bring it back to your Lama and be happy that you caught yourself, because that is the practice. Then you can thank them and ask them to stay with you. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Can you turn the lights on? Thank you. So I just wanted to, I'm Naomi. You guys probably already know that by now. I just wanted to share, I threw one thing in there that Geshe-la didn't share with us, but my teacher's trying to train me in shamatha. And so they gave me this advice because I can get discouraged really easily when I try to meditate on my breath, like, because I get distracted easily and then I'm off the object for long periods of time. And then what happens when I get back on the object is that I get mad at myself a little bit. I'm like, man, you messed that one up again. So they shared with me that that's a pretty good way to stop meditating. And it really helped me to try to be happy when I get back on my breath. Like, really, I just make myself be happy. Like, I just take one split second to go, oh, you did it. You know, because when you're trying to get to stillness, we're basically trying to close the gaps between being off the object, right? And so if you're beating yourself up for being off the object, it's like a Pavlovian thing. You're training yourself, you're saying, bad. You get back on the object and you're like, bad, you are off, you know? And so that's been super helpful to me. And it makes meditation practice so much more fun, you know? And I loved what Elisa Monte said. She said, technique is only important to free yourself, right? And so that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about today, was like using this technique of meditation, right? Of getting to stillness, so that we can focus on other things. So they say that the first problem in meditation, who remembers that from the very first retreat? Venerable Drolma.
Not meditating,
right. And it's because you don't want to meditate, right? It's not wanting to meditate. And Geshe-la calls it, says it's lelo, it means laziness. And then who remembers the antidote for not wanting to meditate? Yes. So I would say that it would be a lot easier to be a successful Buddhist if you could focus your mind single-pointedly on all the other stages on the path to enlightenment, right? We're studying a Lamrim text, which is the stages on the path to enlightenment. And Geshe Michael decided to teach us the very end of the course, end of the book first. Remember that? And he said, I'm going to teach you how to meditate. And then you can go through all the other steps so that they don't do that trick on you at the end where they tell you all the steps and then teach you how to meditate, right? So I feel like he wants us to know how to meditate. So So why do you think that meditating would help you to gain the good qualities of Buddhism? Anybody? Nick.
Traversing the path of Buddhism can only really happen in deep meditation. It rises from one path to another.
Yes, that's good, right? Nick's referring to the five paths, right? And so there are these five paths which they say that you go through sequentially to get to enlightenment. And what is said is that you have to be in a deep state of meditation in order to traverse these paths. So, look into that. Like, I encourage you really, like, outside of what we do here, to really spend some time checking into what your motivation is for meditation. You know, like, what benefits do you really think that you could get? And then once you get that, once you are motivated to meditate, the next thing that they say happens to you is that you want to meditate, right? And so you take yourself to the cushion, and then you try hard at meditating. Like, you know, you set up your, you know, finally, instead of, like, meditating on your bed every day, or like with your cat in your lap, you like go and you set up an altar, right? Like, that's a really good thing to do if you want to meditate. You know, like, you can set up a beautiful space for yourself, some place where you really want to be. Okay, and you know, you can put whatever images that you want. You don't have to put these guys. You can put anyone, right? That's what Geshe-la says. But make it like really comfortable. Like, these days I'm like collecting. Like, I had my eye on a white fleece new blanket in there that I was going to take home with me and put on in my meditation room, because I want to make my room sattvic. So, like Amy, so it has to be white. So like that. So you can start to get excited about how you set that up. So anyway, so then you understand the benefits of meditation, and then you want to do it, and then the next thing is that you try hard. Like, you make sure that you go to bed in enough time to actually leave yourself enough time to meditate in the morning, if that's what you're into, in the morning as opposed to the evening. And then they say that, you know, if you practice it, like, all you have to do is like a little bit every day, right? Like Geshe-la says, you don't have to do a big endeavor. But if you practiced it, you get Xinjiang. Everyone say Xinjiang. And Xinjiang means practiced ease. So, you know, like with anything, like, that's what Elisa Monte was talking about. Like, you get that freedom. Like, you practice the technique. And then from that technique, you get freedom. Once you've mastered all the little techniques, you know, like, I remember seeing the Odisha dancer in San Pancho. Did you guys see that? They brought in this Odisha dancer at the end of the retreat in San Pancho. And I said to somebody, how did she learn to do that? And they said, she just does the same thing over and over and over again. She does, like, so many, many repetitions of the same thing until she got really good at it, you know? And then she had Xinjiang. She had practiced ease with her Odisha dancing. So, you know, like, how can we get closer to a retreat state of life when we're not here? And then, like, what's the opposite of that? Like, what if we're just so attached to our lives that we refuse to make room for that? You know, then it might be really difficult to get to where we want to go. And like Lama Christie said, like, the world has these claws that dig themselves into us. And it's so easy to get drawn away. Like, you know, I get drawn away. You know, I think that I have to go to work and to get money to pay for things. That's what I think. That seems pretty reasonable, right? But somehow that draws me, like, I don't do it in a way that's balanced. You know, instead I just end up like working so that I can save to go on vacation so I can meditate then. You know, and it doesn't quite work that way. You know, and it's amazing when we can get together in a space like this together and do these practices together. And then it's even more amazing if you can keep going with this, you know? And like, how amazing you'll be the next time you see Geshe-la, you know, and how much you'll be able to understand and like be on the same level with him. Well, not the same level, but so you know, and like, we're talking about like developing a practice which is in the realm of the mind, right? Like, the world is this really tricky place. Like, say you are a total vegan, like raw food. You know, you're being really perfect with your with your eating practices, and but you're still like, you're still killing all these insects when you're with the harvesting of all your vegetables, right? So even if you try to be good, like, Geshe-la has been hard on us. He's like, you guys, you shouldn't eat meat. You know, like, those are people too, and they have feelings too, and they don't want you to eat them, right? But then, like, even if, you know, you're eating all these mixed greens and avocados, but still, like, they're harvesting all that food, and all these bunnies are dying so that you can have your organic mixed greens. So, like, the world is, it, you know, it will basically screw you, you know? So the realm of the world is just, you're, it's sort of a setup, right? But, or like you drive to this retreat, like how many insects do you think you killed on the way here? How many insects did we kill on our way to our myriad Walmart runs? So you can't really do anything in the outside world like purely, but in the realm of your mind, you have this amazing opportunity to plant these powerful karmic seeds, right? Which is why you have to meditate. So you can use your mind to plant powerful seeds. Like, that's why Geshe-la has all these business people meditating, right, and doing Tonglen. And then, like, if you want to continue in your path of Buddhism, and you want to practice the higher teachings, for example, and you want to try to be in the outer world, like changing things, then it will be really helpful. You know, when you do the higher teachings, you try to practice in the outside world. It will be really helpful for you if your mind is focused, because otherwise you'll lose your view. So Rinpoche used to tell this joke, and then he told it to Geshe-la. Geshe-la told it to Lama Krisi. Lama Krisi told it to me, so I'm going to tell it to you. So there's these two flies, and they're hanging out on this piece of poop, having dinner. And this one fly says to the other fly, there's this place called heaven, and everything in heaven is totally pure and beautiful and amazing, you know, and I want to go there. And the other fly is like, well, do they have poop there? And the first fly is like, no. And the second fly is like, so why would I want to go there? You know, so. So, don't be attached to your worldly life. Like, if you didn't get the metaphor, like, that's what it is. You're like, your life is the poo, okay? So if you... Sorry, I was laughing most of my own jokes. So if you find yourself like holding on to something, you know, like think about what you're holding on to. Like, you know, when you want to try to meditate, they always say like try to simplify your life. Like, what is making your life so complicated that it's taking so much time, right? And really focus on your goals. Like, I get distracted from my goals so easily, and it ruins me. There's nothing more to say about that, you know? Because I know what it's like to be focused on my goals, and I know what it's like to be on the upward spiral, and I also know what it's like, you know, when you don't, when you're not. And it's very obvious which one, you know, is, which way is leading me towards, you know, the things that we want, happiness and generosity to others and kindness. So when you do get to shamatha, you know, planting powerful karmic seeds will be so much easier for you. So then, I just want to go over a few more things, which is, so whether you're embarking on a meditation practice or you already have an established meditation practice, it's good to just look at how you're going about that. So there are these things called the six conditions of the environment, and I took this from ACI Class 3, which is the course on meditation. So the first thing about your environment, if you're going to set yourself up for a successful meditation practice, right? They say stay in a conducive place, okay? So you want to find a spot, and it's good to find the same spot every day, okay? Like a nice room. Find a room in your house where it's not too noisy and like where it's kind of comfortable, you know, where it's warm enough, you know, and you could take your favorite cushion in there, your favorite blanket. And then, like I said before, it can be really helpful to make the room more inviting by making it beautiful. So you can go find yourself a beautiful altar cloth or some beautiful images. And then it should be a safe place. Like, you can't meditate if you think that, you know, I don't know, a kissing bug is gonna get ya. Or something weird is going to happen, and you know that something weird might happen, so it should be safe, right? And then they say it should have a good environment, not too noisy. And then you should have good friends. And so regardless of the friends that you already have, what that means is that you can just like let everybody know that lives in your house, you know, that you're going to do this meditation thing at this certain time. And if they could not give you your phone calls or, you know, interrupt you, and that there's nothing really that important to interrupt you for, and that basically you're not available at that time. And then the second part of the six conditions. So the first part had a bunch of smaller parts. So there's have an attitude that you don't need much to be satisfied. And I think this boils down to, like, we can practice this throughout the day. And I think this is something that's really helpful to our meditation practice, is to not complicate our lives too much. Like, don't take on so many projects that you can't meditate. You know, like, everyone's capacity is different. Rob must be a really good meditator because he has a lot of projects. But, you know, really take the time to consider what you actually need in your life. And then think about what you can realistically cut out of your life. Like, for me, I think I eat out too much. My husband and I like to go to dinner. And turns out to be this like really long process, because you know you gotta throw some clothes on, and then you have to drive there, and then if the restaurant, the one that you want to go to, isn't open or whatever, that happens to us a lot for some reason. you know, it's this big thing, and then we end up with this sort of foreign food in our bodies, and it can be a little disturbing, you know. So I think for me, what my resolution is going to be is to not eat out as much. Like, to stay home and eat more simple food, like what Dulce is showing us here, and to use that time that I would use to go out in order to get things done that need to get done, so that I can open up space for my meditation, right? So everyone has to think about what they need to cut out of their own life. And then, like Jared said this morning, the third condition of a good environment is to be satisfied with whatever you get. So like when you come to your meditation cushion, you shouldn't be planning the rest of your day. Like, you need to cut that off. You get to the meditation cushion and you have everything you need. Like, it doesn't matter. You have to, because otherwise you'll just meditate. I meditate on what I'm gonna wear a lot. That's, you know, maybe I should lay my outfit out or something first. But I think more importantly is just knowing, like for me would be to just say, like, I'm satisfied. I know that there is a whole room full of clothes over there. And I don't need to worry about that right now. You know, that can be something that a tool to use in meditation. And it's really like the power of the intention with these things. You know, you start at this intention and it's like a trajectory. So that's something that you don't have to keep up during your whole practice, but you just come, you sit down and you say, I have enough clothes, you know, or whatever it is, I'm satisfied with my conditions. There's nothing, I'm not gonna worry about anything. I'm not gonna worry about my job. You know, that's the other thing that I meditate on. So, you set your intention. Intention is very powerful. So use your intention to do what you intended to do. And then the third one is give up a lot of activities. I think I sort of covered this, you know, how things overlap a little bit. But basically, give up doing, you know, it can be helpful to give up doing a whole lot of things. If there's any way that you can simplify your life, then that's helpful for meditation. So just consider like what you can realistically cut out. Okay, and just start with small things. You know, just little things, little ways, and see if that helps. Like, they say like Patanjali, this yoga guy, he's like a scientist, right? And he used himself, sorry, I should say the master, great master Patanjali, excuse me. He used himself as an experiment though. So you can use yourself as an experiment and see what really works for you. And then like that, you'll be able to teach people from your own experience rather than just teaching them from, you know, what some lama told you, you know? And really like try to explore the things that people tell you. So the last one, this is number five. The fifth condition is sultrim. Do you guys know that word? What does it mean? Yeah, ethical behavior. It means don't hurt people, right? I think this is the trickiest one. Like, remember how we all did so well in our meditation after the sojong? And that was really, it was a beautiful purification. And you can do things like that, too. You know, you can have your own sojong, like every 2 weeks or once a month, you know, and that will help you. You know, it's really good to reflect. Like we have Geshe Michael has given us a lot of tools to help our morality. Like we can do the 6 times a day book to track our vows. And if you don't know what that is, I urge you to ask somebody on the day that we come out of silence. Or 4 times a day book, or however many times you think you can do it. I think the sojong is really good. You know, if you can just get together with like 2 friends, or 3 friends, or 5 friends, we did it. We did it at Mira and Jared's house, and it was very powerful. Yeah. And then the last one, number 6, is getting rid of sense desires. So while you're meditating, you want to withdraw from the senses on a subtle level. And then between meditation sessions, you can practice that as well. You know, like just working with your desire, if that's something for you, if that's something which is an issue for you. So I think that's pretty much all I have to say. Just be nice to people. Thank you. Fiction Meto Chum Viraling Shin Yunde Ten Padi Sangge Shing Du Mikte Uwagi Trokunam Dak Shing La Tu Parsho Hiram Guru Ratna Mandala Kam Niyatayami Gevati Kelokun Sonam Yashe Tsoksokshin Sonam Yashe Lechogwe Dampar Kunyitru Parshom